Board meeting of Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020 to order. May we have roll call, please?
Okay. Board Member Clinton?
Present.
Board Member Fullerton?
Present.
Board Member Smith? Absent. Board Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenberger? And Chair Branch?
Here. All right, before we begin, I would like to say that this meeting is being conducted utilizing teleconferencing and electronic means consistent with State of California Executive Order N2920, dated March 17th, 2020, regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. The live stream of the meeting may be viewed on television and or online. In accordance with Executive Order N2920, the public may only view the meeting on Goleta Channel 19 and or online at the city's website, and not in the council chamber. So with that, let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America.
And to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
All right, with that, we will, at this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda items relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Has any public member requested such?
We have no public speakers for public forum.
Okay. Closing that section, we'll move to administrative review and the review and approval of the Design Review Board minutes for June 9th. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes? I see Jennifer Fulton raising her hand.
I'll motion to approve the minutes.
And a second by Member Clinton. Any discussion of the minutes? Okay. Seeing none, we would like a roll call on the approval of the minutes.
Board Member Clinton?
I motion to approve.
Board Member Fullerton?
Aye.
Board Member Smith? Board Member Whalen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Okay, with that, that will take us to our conceptual preliminary calendar. Could we have that read into the record, please?
Was that item B1?
Item B1, yes, please.
6045 Stowe Canyon Road, APN 071-170-044, substantial conformity determination of Shabbat of Santa Barbara, case number 20-003-SCD.
All right, and before we begin, I'd like to get the board to do declarations. Has everybody visited the site and or any ex parte discussions? I'll start with Member Fullerton.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, Member Whelan?
No additional site visit and no ex parte discussions.
Member Schaumer?
The same.
Member Clinton?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, and I have not revisited the site, but I did have a conversation with the applicant, I want to say, well, pre-COVID by a good shot, let's say January or December at some point, maybe. Could have even been early February, but their office is in my building. They wanted me to take a look at where they were heading with this change, and I went down and looked at it, and that was the basis of the discussion, was just kind of some of the changes and stuff. So that was it. Okay, so with that, Chris, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Chair Branch. Good afternoon, members of the Design Review Board. We have a bit of information here, a lot of plans. The applicant has gone to the nth degree to try and help share what this thing is, what they're proposing to make it look like. So I'm going to just try and keep my part short and focus on what's changing. But first, let me give you a quick background. This was last heard by the Design Review Board for conceptual review in December 2018. It was then approved by the Planning Commission in December 2019. And under the old zoning ordinance, it would move forward. The next step would normally be for it to come back to the Design Review Board for final design review. In the meantime, as Chair Branch alluded, there was a change that was proposed, and it was determined that that change would require a substantial conformity determination. So this hearing today is under the new zoning ordinance, Title 17, for the substantial conformity determination only. This will not affect the previous approval by the Planning Commission. So the applicant here today is requesting conceptual review as well as a recommendation from the Design Review Board to the Planning Director to approve the substantial conformity determination. If everything goes favorably for the applicant, then they will return to you one more time after the Planning Director's approval of the SCD for final design review. Under this process, or within this process, the only appeal point, if anyone should object to a decision, is following the director's decision. There's also no CEQA analysis associated with this. The types of changes fall underneath the previous CEQA analysis done for the original project that was approved by the Planning Commission. The types of changes overall are fairly small. There's a net 35 square foot reduction of the building footprint. They have redesigned the roof, and that resulted in the elimination of the previously proposed 815 square foot rooftop deck. There's changes would result in the removal of one additional fruit tree. And there's other minor landscape and hardscape changes in the area immediately surrounding the primary proposed building, the synagogue. And then there are design changes about how the building looks, and I'll leave that to the applicant to better explain. I'm looking for how, is it IT Scott that allows me to share my screen here? Okay, here we go. Yeah, here we go. So, let me just move this over. Okay. So the, I'm not going to go through every sheet here. Like, so there's a lot of information, but, you know, these red clouds call out the areas where the building is proposed to change. Here we can come back to this, but these are some isometric views. As you can see, it's around the building, the design changes or with respect to floor area are pretty minimal. And as it exists today, here's how it is proposed today. Just to give you a sense of what it would look like as proposed now. So, and then we also have the electronic material board. So with that, and with the chair's approval, I would like to hand it over to Steve Fort, agent, and his team.
Very well. Steve, the floor is yours.
My audio okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm Steve Fort with Suzanne Ellis, planning and permitting agent for the owner of Chabad of Santa Barbara. With me today, I'm fairly certain on here, is Jeff Burkus, with our architect, Ben Krinsman with Jeff's office, and Paul Newton with Jeff's office, and also Sam Mapis with Earthform Landscape Design. Glad to see Sam has joined us also. I think Chris laid it out pretty well. We were approved by the Planning Commission back in December. That went great. And like Chris said, the changes from the Planning Commission approval to what we're showing you now, and from what we showed you when we visited you a year or two ago prior to Planning Commission, like Chris said, it's about a 35 square foot difference in floor area. Roof deck has been removed. A portion of the project that kind of angled out into the south patio or terrace has been revised. Additional fruit tree is proposed for removal. But I'm going to hand it off to either Jeff or Ben. And we have some before and after renderings we can roll through with you in addition to the plans and the materials. I'm not sure, Chris or Mary, if you want to let Ben or Jeff scroll through plans, or I could do it, or you want to just have them direct you, because I think we might start with, Chris, the exhibits I sent that have the DRB1 and DRB2 labels at the bottom. So we can just kind of quickly go through those simple visuals of visually how it looks different, and then Ben or Jeff will do that, and then they'll dive into the plans a little deeper.
So this is Jeff.
Sorry, Chair Branch, I just wanted to address Steve Fort's comment. I think it would be best for Chris to have his plans and navigate the best he can. Otherwise, we have to switch presenters.
Okay, I see Chris has the DRB1 site plan up there. So I think that's probably a good starting point.
Yes.
Okay.
As long as it's followed by DRB2. Is that how the sequence will go? Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
All right, okay. Jeff, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you. Thank you all for your time. The changes that you're about to see are largely in reaction to the DRB meeting that we had with you all. And we went back to the drawing board, but back and really carefully considered what you had asked for. I'm going to address the two main issues, and that is the flow around the building into the courtyard, and then a simplification of the massing of the building. And I believe it was Dennis that had said this, that the building had three parts to it, and it was a little busy. And we went back and we looked at this very hard, and you'll see the difference. The main difference is taking that kink or angle out of the kitchen area and the south-facing room, which really was projecting into the courtyard more than we were comfortable with when we looked at it again based on your comments. So if we go to the next slide, you're going to see that the southern courtyard, which will be used a lot, is greatly simplified.
Hi, I'm sorry to interrupt here. It's not letting me get rid of the pointer highlight here, and it's not letting me scroll to the next screen. Maybe
before we change screens, can you point out with that pointer highlighter what he's talking about exactly?
Right there.
Yep. Down here.
And you can see that it's pinched to the motor court, so the flow around that corner was a little tight, which had been brought up. And you'll see how we responded if we can get to the second one.
Yeah. IT Scott, can you maybe stop sharing my screen for a moment so that
Chris,
it seems
can
stuck.
You try, Chris, try to hit enter or the arrow button.
I had, okay, so scrolling left and right does work.
Okay, yep, there you go.
Tried other buttons that hadn't worked yet. Thank you, Mary. My apologies, everyone. Okay,
now we're on DRB two.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, okay. Chris, you can, yeah, there it is. So we moved it back from the motor court so that there's a room to approach the western entry and then slide around the side of the building in a much more elegant fashion and come into the courtyard. You can see the entire southern courtyard from the motor court and as you walk around the building. So the flow around the building is definitely simplified, and we're very comfortable with that because it then simplified the roof forms. So we can jump right into the imagery and come back for questions. But basically, you can see the central axis through the sanctuary and then through the meeting hall and to the center of the motor court. So I think the next slide, yes. This is what we had shown you previously. And it had the stairway up to the rooftop terrace and the cank and the overhang into the courtyard. And then I think the next slide is where we are now. So we made one roof form from the sanctuary all through the meeting room and greatly simplified the use of materials, the use of forms, and one very elegant long sloped roof on the east-west axis of the building. And this was the western entry previously with the rooftop terrace and the angles. And this is where we are now. Unifying the forms of the two buildings in a better balance. So the clipped gable mimics the curve of the main meeting hall, but is distinct as an administration wing. And then we used more of the Jerusalem limestone wrapping around into the entry. There was a discussion that was that it would be nicer to have an entry sequence on the west side. So we introduced a courtyard, and then we introduced a planter to the north side, both those curved planters, in an effort to bring more detail and landscape into the entry experience. So this is the building unwrapping. The Jerusalem stone wraps around the whole four sides of the building now, giving the continuity of the building at the same kind of reference height line. The roof wraps down to the southern courtyard in one material that we're hoping to be a thermochromex, which is a form of stucco, but is a plaster, which is a really cool material. We just found it. And then we also, have enclosed the arc at the back, which was facing Jerusalem. I'm going to get that straight this time. And we enclosed the top because the open framework was causing us problems with the roof form in back. So we've glazed it up to the top so that it's all part of the interior experience of the sanctuary at this point. And that's in the lower left. Sorry, I should have pointed that out. Right there, yes. Mm-hmm. So the form is simplified all the way around the building. I think that's our last exhibit.
That's the last sheet in this PDF, yes.
Yes. So in conclusion, we really appreciated the thoughtful comments and have responded in a way that we think is consistent to what was said at the meeting. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you all think about the changes.
Okay, any landscape tweaks that we should know about?
Sam, you can talk to this, but you'd have to go back to the plan. It's mainly in the courtyard entry, which was specific. Yeah,
I think if you leave it on that screen, this is Sam Mapus. If you notice, as Jeff said, that the spaces, the entry spaces and the south patio spaces are now enlarged. and we have seating benches, and we have seat walls that allow for gathering at the entry sequence, as you will, as Jeff had mentioned. So there's plant material that softened the building on all sides, west and south being the most used by all the churchgoers. The organizing of the paving was also something that was discussed in the early design review, in that it was very, very kind of tricky to know where to walk other than the main sidewalk. So we organized the parking lot with a series of radial patterns in the pavement that allow for someone coming from the parking to move through the sidewalk and into the center motor court circle around the center node, if you will, and then off to the entry sequence or over to the south patio, depending on where the gathering event might be starting. So we tried to kind of create some safe paths of travel for the pedestrian. And the paver pattern, which will be permeable and have a texture, will allow for some safety in terms of the overall pedestrian vehicle coexisting in that motor court. But I think the virtue of drop-off works very well. The paving pattern, organizing that for the pedestrian now in a safer manner, was what we gained from our last meeting with you all. And then by opening up the gathering at the entry, we've now a very soft approach to the front elevation. We've allowed for gathering in that area, as well as any kind of major or small gathering, depending on size, in the south patio, which is now greatly expanded. It allows you to get to a point where you can get back and appreciate the building in some of its fine materials and its proportions in terms of design. We kept the same tree and plant palette, which is a very sustainable, drought-tolerant type of Mediterranean planting that's got some accent plants that are quite dramatic in the Cortiline, Torbe Dazzler. We're also using Leucospermum, which is a beautiful flowering plant that's very tough. Leucodendron for some texturing to kind of screen or veil the house or the residence to the north. So I think it really sets the building apart in framing it. The plant material and plant palette is quite simple, which in our opinion makes it bold, like the architecture, and a great sense of arrival can be sequenced from Stowe Canyon Road, as we have the plant material projecting all the way out to the street and along the frontage with similar trees, the Metrosideros, the sycamore, the live oak. All those trees are expressed on the street, so they now allow kind of a sequence of pulling you in through this entrance of new landscaping that then is the continuity throughout the entire project is pulling from the street all the way in. So those are the main points that we wanted to bring to your attention, but all in all, I think now the landscape and the architecture are blending in a very dramatic way, in a simplified way, but a much more functioning way. Okay. So I think that's my conclusion at this point. If there's any questions, certainly I'm there to help answer them.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Jennifer, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Craig, do you have any questions?
Questions.
No questions, is that what you said?
No questions, thanks.
Okay, Karis, how about you?
I just have a couple quick ones. It looks like in the 3D rendering that there's pampas grass. There's no pampas grass in the plant palette, is there?
No.
Okay. And I can see the sycamores are around the residence. Is there any sycamores throughout the rest of the palette?
There are sycamores on the north side, one by the street, and then two kind of behind the building to create some scale and some skyline trees. There's sycamores on the other property adjacent to the east, and also along the floodway or the stream to the west. So they're in continuity with the kind of landscape surrounding the property, but there's no others on the property other than the ones we're planting.
Okay. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Okay. Dennis, do you have any questions?
Yes, Chair Branch, thank you. One small question, Jeff. When I look at the floor plan of the administration building, specifically the library, and then I compare that with the elevation, my specific question is that vertical panel in the center glazing? If not, what is it? It doesn't look like glazing on the plan.
Simple answer, yes, it is glazing. All right. It's on the axis of the door into the room, and it's a central feature focus window, and then the two higher corner windows sit above the alcoves of the library, but it is definitely a window.
Right. Thank you.
Yep.
I guess my question will go into comments. That makes more sense. Let's go reverse. Dennis, do you have any comments?
First of all, I'd like to congratulate Jeff and his team for being so responsive to comments that you thought we were right or we had something to offer. And two, you responded so well. This to me looks like such a completely different project with almost no relationship to the previous one. The handling of materials seems very elegant. The mixing of Jerusalem stone with the plaster seems very appropriate. But more than anything, attaching on to this idea of the roof as an arc being primary to a synagogue and relating itself to all other synagogues is so masterful and powerful. I only have praise for everything that you've done, both in the building, the site design, and landscape.
So you like it then?
More or less, yeah.
Okay. Member Clinton, do you have any comments?
Yes. I also agree with Member Whalen on that. I would bring up a few tiny little things where I think you might run into some problems, or if not problems, just to be a little more sensitive, maybe. It looks like the main entrance here on south entry to sanctuary number 2, that's where you come off the motor court and you're into that south little area, and then you're coming up to the sanctuary. It looks like there's some steps there. And I think, you know, I would just say maybe look at, is there any way we can ramp that? Is there any way we can get rid of those steps? They seem to not be terribly necessary. I like the steps over by the library or over by the sanctuary because they sort of add a place to sit, which I think is interesting. But just maybe having an entrance way for people that can't get up steps, it might be nice. And that south patio area and grieving area, I think is awesome. Maybe some bigger trees in there for shade, because in the south there will be days when that is quite hot and there's a lot of paved area now. So those would be my only comments, but otherwise I think it's amazing. It looks really, really, really nice. Thank you.
Okay, great. Craig?
I just echo the positive comments, and I think this is on for preliminary, which I could definitely support.
Great. Jennifer?
Yeah, I agree with all the other board members' comments. I think it's really beautiful and elegant, and I appreciate you taking the time to incorporate our comments into it. So, yeah, I can totally support this.
Okay. I'm totally supportive of this, but the previous version I didn't not like. I guess. but I like this version equally. And my question was, where, as I'm looking at the photo on the lower right, Office Library West Entry 1, what at first that little jerkinhead roof felt out of place, and the more I look at it, it feels right. So I guess my question was where it's like that is the only sort of traditional architectural element there, and I guess I was just curious of where, why. Not that it's a big deal, but.
It's an interesting question. I used it in a house in Aspen and ended up really loving it because it folds the roof down into the entry experience. And when we drew a gable, the gable just fought with the curved roof of the sanctuary and the meeting room.
Right.
And I said, you know what, Ben, let's flip that off. And all of a sudden it made the arc. And I was, yes, this is what we want to do. It's like a folded origami piece. And it has its own character. But that's exactly where it came from, was that. We didn't.
It matches with the windows on the side, the shape, the way it matches kind of the window mass over on the other side with the limestone just has a cool relationship for, I don't know, it feels good. So anyway, so I guess positive.
You can thank the clients for that one before you go on. The clients were telling me they wanted the left to go to the right, and they suggested the corner windows. So it's very interesting. So go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no problem. It's a great design. I think this will be this will be very welcome in the community. So I think this is conceptual. Oh, with the new NZO, Mary, do we have to make a motion, or have we just completed comments?
I am. Chair Branch, so you will be making a recommendation for preliminary design approval to the planning director. So with the findings. So that would be the motion, if that's the path that you're going down, and it would be recommendation of preliminary design approval.
All right. Then someone should make a motion of for the recommendation to positive comments. Anybody?
I'd be happy.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Member Clinton, go ahead.
I can second the motion or make the motion.
What do you want to do?
How would I make a motion to approve the substantial conformance as stated by the staff?
With positive comments?
With positive comments, and yes, thanking everyone very much for their hard work and making something amazing.
Member Clinton, did you say a recommendation for preliminary design approval?
Recommendation for preliminary design approval.
Thank you.
Perfect. Dennis, did you want to second that?
I'll second, sure.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call for the motion?
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Fullerton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Okay. You guys are off to preliminary after you get director approval. So we look forward to seeing this again. It looks great. Good job.
Thank you. Mary, we'll just be coming back for final, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. After the SE.
Thank you all.
This is Jeff Burgess. Thank you all once again. And I wanted to know, on the final, would that be consent, or are we prepared to make another full presentation?
Chair Branch, so you don't need to make a full presentation. I think it looks like unless there's the SED does not get approved, you're back just kind of to formalize.
I would say this would be an easy consent.
Yeah, we don't have consent, but we would just bring it back.
Okay. All right. Understood. So, I like talking to your group. It's fun.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That will take us. Now that will take us to our conceptual review. We could have item C1 introduced.
That's C1-255 Orange Avenue, APN 071-111-044, Verizon Wireless Antenna, Faux Water Tower, case number 19-115-CUP/DRB.
Terrific. Declarations from the board. Jennifer?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Karis?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Dennis?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Craig?
Site visit, no ex parte.
And I visited the site and no ex parte. Okay, so who's the planner? Mary is. Oh, Mary, the floor is yours.
Hey, thank you, Chair. Scott Phillips, would you make me the presenter, please? So as we're getting the plans onto screen, I'll just start by saying that this, okay, let me have to do that. Oh, go back to the beginning. Okay, so we have a proposal in front of you today for conceptual review. There's no action that's required. We're here, the applicant wants to get comments. The proposal is to construct a 42-foot tall faux water tower to house a wireless antenna array on private easement located at 255 Orange Avenue. It's on the west side of Orange Avenue near the intersection of Orange Avenue and Gaviota Street in Old Town Goleta. So here we are. We see the site there, and then on the property, the tower would be on the west side to the left. The site is currently developed as a parking lot. It serves the existing Pepe's restaurant that's located on the east side of Orange Avenue. The other uses around include parking and storage lots to the north and residential uses to the, let me work on my drawing tool, to the west and south. I think we get the picture. I've got too many things to maneuver here. Okay, so. Just some details of the location of the water tower, a few details, and I think I'm going to scroll to the photo sim, which tells the main picture right there. The process is conceptual review today, and then following that would be a recommendation of preliminary design approval for the requested conditional use permit. This will need a minor conditional use permit to be considered by the zoning administrator. And if that process gets completed, then final design review will come back to DRB, similar to your last project. The new process, the new code we're referring to as Title 17, requires story poles for anything that's over 20 feet in the commercial district. Because of the height of the tower, it was, you know, and the kind of the skinny, tall element, to put anything over 25 feet would easily be blown over with heavy winds, which we actually have had in the last few weeks. The tower, there's a full crank-up faux tower that was put on the site on June 8th. And also, Title 17 requires a 32-square-foot sign to be posted for noticing this project, which was done on June 8th as well. Because the maximum height exceeds the 30-foot height limitation in this district. A modification is requested as part of the conditional use permit. So the Old Town Heritage District guidelines, you know, they've been basically recommended guidelines, but in the Title 17, it's gotten a little bit more strict in terms that the commercial zone districts to be consistent with design guidelines. So I'm just going to go through, read the Old Town Heritage District guidelines. One is to reveal and enhance the historic character of Goleta and provide greater architectural continuity and cohesiveness. Two, reinforce and ensure a high level of quality of design and materials for all proposed projects within the Heritage District. Three, ensure that adjacent buildings, in this case structure, work together to reinforce the character of Old Town as a vital, lively place, abundant with a diversity of shops, businesses, and residents. Four, to provide direction to ensure that improvements enhance a building's, in this case a structure, overall appearance in the context of the Heritage District. And finally, five, to enrich the quality of the pedestrian experience at street level, including improved signage, storefront design, and use of quality materials and landscape. So those are sort of kind of the framework for you to review this project. We do have Tricia Knight on the phone here representing Verizon. I will let her take over, and keeping in mind, Chair, that there is a public comment after Ms. Knight's presentation.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
Hello, everybody. I apologize for not having the visual capabilities. I'm still a little behind the technology curve, but can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Well, Mary obviously did a great job summarizing it. So this has been something we've been working on for a while, going through the ordinance revisions, talking about height and coverage and area. And so we're really here to just answer questions from you about considering something like this in Old Town. When Mary reads the public comment, there was also some exhibits that were included. There are other water tank features. I don't know if you've seen the one on the hillside above Bacara, even though that's not in the city limits. You know, this type of installation for a cell facility has been utilized successfully before. But so I'm here to just answer questions and get your comments.
Okay, thank you very much. With that, we do have a public speaker. Mary, is that someone you introduce, or?
Our clerk, David, will read the comment into the record. And also, she did submit photos, so I'm going to put those up now as he reads her comment.
Terrific.
Okay. Dear Mr. Chair and DRB members, cell sites in dense urban areas are always a challenge to the aesthetic landscape of an urban community unless they're fully hidden from view. And the design of this project is a particular challenge, for it doesn't fit into the context of the site. Incorporating a faux water tank into this dense urban area in the midst of low-level residential and commercial uses radically changes the streetscape, but not for the better. Further, having read the Old Town design guidelines, I have difficulty in finding any consistency of this proposed project with them. The project doesn't reinforce the character of Old Town, nor does it provide a greater architectural continuing cohesiveness. If anything, it has the opposite effect. I would hope the applicant consider other sites or designs that would have less visual impacts and request she share that info with you. In this regard, it is my understanding that the applicant can use a distributive antenna system, DAS, which places the antennas on utility poles in the area. Also, the process to do that is far simpler as encroachment permit rather than a conditional use permit and its lengthy discretionary review process. More importantly, these antennas mounted on utility poles have considerably less visual and aesthetic impact than an imposing water tank that is the tallest structure in the neighborhood. I would appreciate knowing why this alternative for cell coverage wasn't used. To assist in your review, at the attachment are photos of historic water tanks in the Goleta area provided by Farina Murray, a former member of the DRB, who asked I send these to you. These water tanks are less imposing, fit into their location, and are more of a human scale than what is proposed. Further, it would have been most helpful to have story poles or some other device at the site to enable the viewer to understand the imposing height, size, bulk, and scale of the structure and its effect on the largely one-story neighborhood. I would like the DRB to request the applicant for placement of such a device so all can see the impact of the proposed structure's height will have. Photosims don't provide three-dimensional effect that story poles do. Old Town deserves a better project that would improve and enhance the character of Old Town. This project doesn't. I hope that your review one is found. Thank you for your consideration of my comments, Cecilia Brown. And that concludes her comments.
Okay. That moves us into questions from the board, but I'd like to, I guess, sort of take the question that was posed there and toss it to the applicant, and in terms of why the choice of a single tower versus the smaller nodes that go on power poles that we've seen before our board a zillion times. That was a question I had when I first was looking at this package. So Tricia, could you answer that?
Absolutely. So typically the way these larger, you know, you have all seen these projects before you over time in various, you know, that DAS, this distributed system she was referring to, is called a small cell. You've seen those come before you on the utility poles. This is still the technology that's going to deliver, you know, this area of Old Town. I even drove through it recently, and it's still got some coverage gaps and connectivity issues, especially if you're inside a building. So this type of facility that is, I'll call it, the most bang for your buck, is still the most cohesive technology. However, the small cell technology, now that we've been building them out within the city limits, have shown to perform really well. And so we're definitely looking. And so I guess that's what I'm suggesting your comments on, is that we have those two technologies available to us. And so at first I was thinking, you know, something of this size, but once the ordinance revisions came through and this became part of the Old Town, and, you know, those pictures that Cecilia submitted of those older looking water tower type structures could definitely be utilized here. We can play with the design with making something work in this location. However, we can also go ahead and show you what it would look like. You're probably looking at about 4 utility poles in the surrounding area. And so anyway, I'm just letting you know that we have that available. We can bring exhibits before you to sort of do a side-by-side if that's appropriate. But we can definitely adjust this particular design more towards this, I guess, more of a tower, really, right, than the water feature that we have proposed. So there's definitely room for design changes as well as overall how we would want to cover this gap considerations.
Okay. Did you say if you were to do the small version, it would take 40? Is that what you said?
Oh, no. Four. Just four, okay. F-O-U-R. So, yeah, about 4 utility poles to maybe at a lower elevation. If you've seen them before, there's an antenna on top of the pole and sort of cabinets attached to them as well. And we do have to tap into the local utility power. But anyway, just 4, not 40.
Okay. Just wanted to
clarify. Chair Branch?
Yes.
Chair Branch, just wanted to mention that if the utility poles are in the public right-of-way, they don't require design review or planning permit.
Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. Well, I would say let's just combine questions and comments because this is kind of an all over the map thing. So, Craig, I'll start with you.
Okay. I don't really have any questions, but I need to just say before getting any further, this is a non-starter for me. I cannot support anything that's, you know, the word faux in it, it's a violation of a fundamental principle of architecture and design. It's either a water tower that has water in it or it's not. And maybe if it were a water tower that also had cell technology in and around them, something that's part of the, you know, exoskeleton or something that was concealed, but it's not a water tower, so I can't support that. I think that the challenge is to design an antenna tower. Don't design a water tower, design an antenna tower. And be creative and make that your design challenge. But I can't support this.
Member Clinton?
I understand what Mr. Schallenberger is saying, and I understand what you were trying to do here, and also what the public comments are bringing up is it seems like you're creating more when you could have done the same thing with less. So that would be my suggestion is again, I don't want more things in the visual skyscape, if you will, of that area. If we could do less and make them smaller and fit in with the existing infrastructure, I think that's a better way to go. But I do appreciate that you were trying to do something that didn't look like a cell tower. So that's where I'm at.
Dennis?
Turn my mic on. Yeah, I'm of two minds about this project. One, these type of towers are one of my personal favorite vernacular buildings. I'm magnetically drawn to them whenever I see them. But there's a difference here between a tank tower and a tank house. Most of the examples that were shown to us by public comment in those photos were tank houses where they tried to disguise the tank to look more as a residential character. And if you go to the hill, you'll find versions of these around. And I think there's an important difference between these two, but that's just me. A more genuine reflection, if that's what the gesture is meant to be, the angles, the support lower part of it need more angle, and those members need to be beefier, even though our modern materials can support it. If the gesture, if the visual import is to look like an old building, they have to be falsely bigger to carry that off. And also, I think a tank house would be fully enclosed too. That might be an improvement wherein all of that other equipment on the ground could be possibly enclosed by the structure. It does appear to me though that this is a much bigger scale than any of our agricultural tank houses or tank towers around. And I'd be curious to what that difference of scale is. Is it like a third more or is it just a fifth more? But in general, it looks like it's a lot bigger. And I would like to know what that Bacara example looked like through photographs. Okay, enough for that. I'm of a mind, as Craig mentioned, that this honesty and expression is an element of agricultural buildings. They never try to be anything they are not. And I've sort of had it with fake trees and whatever that cell towers try to be. Just let the cell tower be itself. That in itself is a challenge to the designer to make it into something that would fit within the guidelines of Old Town. I think that's about it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Jennifer?
Yeah, I live out by Bacara, so I see that water tower all the time, and I think it's kind of cool looking, but it's sitting on a big rolling hill all by itself. It's not near any houses, and it looks pretty small compared to the hills. I think this is just so hulking over those poor little houses. I just think it's really out of scale for the neighborhood, and it looks kind of like a Disneyland prop stuck in the middle of someone's backyard, honestly. So yeah, I can't support this the way it is. I think it's really tall. I think if you could do what you said is another option and just put the equipment onto existing poles where it's a lot lower and it's not some giant hulking structure in the middle of of Old Town, that would be great. But this, like it is, I can't support this.
Craig, I saw your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to tag on to that a little bit more, and not to belabor the point, but you know, the scale is a little bit obscured by this vantage point. Really, what we probably should have seen is the elevation from Orange Avenue looking into that open parking lot itself. You know, you've got this ficus tree and this 6 or 8 foot high fence here sort of obscuring the base of this thing. It's a much bigger structure than it appears in these photos and these simulations. You know, this would be the defining feature of Old Town Goleta if it were constructed, and not in a good way. It would look like, I don't know, something off the freeway off of Soledad or something like that. It's this is what you would see from all around Goleta Old Town, given the one in modest two-story structures that are in Old Town. You'd see it from everywhere, and I just can't support that.
Okay. I'll chime in. I think that, first of all, the first 5 years on the DRB, we were seeing these huge faux pine trees, and we would have these hours-long discussions about what the needles look like and the random needing to get random shape and direction. And you know, it's kind of like I was a little conflicted about that from the standpoint of, it's kind of like the argument with solar panels, where people would try to do all they could to disguise solar panels, and it's like, why? It's a device that serves a function, and it is what it is. You know, don't try to hide it. Make the design better if that's the intent. And I think, and I agree with Craig and Dennis and the other members that, you know, if it's going to be a tower, I think design it as a tower. That said, a water tower is a very creative design for these towers. It's something I hadn't seen before. I have family in Mendocino, and if you want to see great water towers, look at images of Mendocino. There are some great ones there. And subsequently, some of them have become habitable, you know, where they once were water towers, now they're stores, and they're the, you know, the kind that like in the images that we saw, for example, the one from Los Olivos and the Sexton House, they kind of look like that. But now there's, you know, shops inside them. So ethically, it's like, I'm a little torn about, you know, is that a unidirectional process? You know, that was something that served a function once, and so now it's not that anymore, and so you occupy it as a store. Well, the reciprocal is taking a classical form and trying to conceal something that is not as pretty. I'm a little torn on that. Where I definitely come down on this is that while I think this is a creative idea, Craig put words to something that was my first thought, and that is, this becomes the focal point of Old Town if this flies. All those examples of those water houses we saw were, you know, much more to human scale. The biggest one looking like it was perhaps at Sexton House, and even that is not much over two story, and this is up at 42 feet. So this is up there. And if you were to try to, you know, turn it into a water tower house concept, you have to angle it out on the bottom, and therefore you're increasing the mass even more. So I'm not for this proposal, but I am for you pursuing this kind of creativity in the future. I think this was as cell towers go, this was a good idea. And if it could be, you know, half that height and maybe have a water function in it, then it's more useful. If it's just, when it's just faux, I too get a little bit, you know, it's not quite as pure. And so there's a sort of a feel like you're sort of faking it and phoning it in. And especially in old town, that feels a little sacrilegious to me. Though, again, I appreciate the design concept of what you're trying to do. That's something that could potentially blend in more. But I think it's way out of scale. And if it's got to be up that high, then I think you're off onto and gonna have to explore another design. But if it could be half that height and be one of these water houses, I might entertain that. But as shown, it's too out of scale for my liking. So I think those are my comments. Oh, sorry, Dennis, you have another comment?
A question for staff. Mary, did you say that the lift bucket that was currently in place reflects the height in lieu of story poles?
Yes, that's correct. And I wanted to bring that up.
Okay.
Yeah. The crank tower was taken down one day because of winds. So it just happened that I think the two commenters went on that day, did not see it. And it was a substantial cost to put that up and have that in place. And yeah. I just want to ask through Chair Branch if, Tricia, you have what you need to bring back to your client with direction. My understanding is that you're not able to go below 42 feet. Is that correct?
That is correct. So due to the antenna signals, we need to stay a certain height above the existing rooftop. And so that is the lowest functional height that we can utilize. And then I know this has already been for discussion, but it's difficult anything at this height to leave up for the full 14-day noticing period. So apologize for that having to come down, but it's a difficult requirement.
So Chair Branch, I want to just entertain to you and the board members whether you would support a 42-foot high element, because if you're not able to support that, then she can bring that back to her client and, you know, have that conversation.
We'll have to go at this one at a time. I, for one, it's a case-by-case basis. I would have to see the design of what's being proposed. It's going to be a focal point, and that is a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what we're looking at and what it is. So in theory, I'm not a categorical no on that. Member Whelan?
I'll weigh in right behind you, Scott. Yes, I would like to see a design that more reflects what both you and I had been hinting around about, if, you know, a more refined design. But even more important than that, we need some sections, not only through the site and the surrounding buildings that we can look at to really see what the scale difference is, and perhaps some photo simulations from, say, Hollister Avenue.
Great. Okay. Craig?
I was going to say something similar. My first instinct on it, though, was if it were anything that was going to be that height, I think would need to be engaged. It would need to almost be a building, as part of a building. I think maybe the old R.P. Richards building there on Hollister might be up at around 40 feet at the top of its roof. So it could potentially be not incompatible, given, you know, that building being nearby. But as a standalone, just a, you know, tower or spire kind of thing, I can't see it being compatible unless it's engaged to something that, you know, then steps down to a, you know, maybe it's a tower element of a two-story building or something like that, that in that tower, you know, if you were to develop that entire parking lot somehow, and this would be incorporated. I mean, that's my gut instinct as to what I could see being acceptable in a neighborhood compatibility standpoint. But I agree. It'd be case by case. If there was some awesome design that of an antenna tower that's super creative and integrated to the neighborhood, then yeah, you can approve it. But it's hard to envision that.
Yeah. Okay. Jennifer?
Yeah, I echo Board Member Schallenberger. Potentially something could be there, but anything just standalone would just be really out of place, I think.
Okay. Karis, anything to add? Okay. Dennis?
Scott, for the benefit of the proposal, if they were to return to us with a tower design, we should see a section or an elevation of the entire block of Orange Avenue from Hollister, where that R.P. Richards building is, all the way down. There are a variety of sizes of buildings. Then we could really make an accurate judgment of its appropriate scale.
But that's the definition of neighborhood compatibility right there.
Yeah.
Mary?
Chair Branch, I'm raising my hand for Tricia because you can't see her, so she would like to speak.
Okay, I was just going to ask if the applicant wanted to speak. So go ahead, Tricia.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. So one thing that is fairly important for me right now as the representative for my client Verizon is to, so this project has been massaged over time. This is approximately 2 years, let's say, in since the time we entered into a lease agreement, came to a lease agreement, designed this. We started at a much taller height, then we came down, we've gone with colors, we've got, so if I'm hearing you correctly, what I want to do is give clear direction to my client with respect to at this particular height, in this particular location, at that particular mass of what you're seeing now, I do hear categorically, it's just not a project that you feel comfortable supporting. Is that a fair statement? I just want to be clear instead of, well, maybe if we did this, that, or the other, I just was hoping for comments based on just what's before you without any modifications, because what I'm being told by my client is that this has been massaged and compacted and placed, because it is a fairly small parcel, in the only place that it can be. So I'm just trying to give them as clearest direction as possible, respectively. Thank you.
I would say it seems to be the opinion of the board that as shown, it's not acceptable.
Okay. That is clear direction. Thank you.
I would like helpful, to believe it or not. I would like to add to that that we really haven't been given enough information to make that determination.
I guess that gives you the board's position of what you're seeing at this point. As shown, the board is not too happy with it. But
okay. If we chose to go down this path, more information would be needed. I think that's a fair statement. If we continue to go down this path, then we would come back with many more exhibits and scale and size and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Craig?
Well, just particularly from Hollister Avenue, say where the Thai food entrance store, Pattaya, I think it's called, that corner of, or actually a little bit down the block back towards Fairview, but there's an opening between the two buildings that made the old R.P. Richards facility. I think one is prestigious painting building. In fact, it was the old MTD bus building at one time. There's a big gap between that and the two-story R.P. Richards building. That's just parking lot, basically. There's no massing. And you would see it if you were to elevate that or photo simulate that from that vantage point. You're really going to get the picture of what. So when, if and when there's a return with this design, I think that photo simulation needs to be part of the submittal.
Okay.
I can take a screenshot of a Google Earth image or something if it's helpful to give guidance. But hopefully
that would be helpful. Thank you.
Maybe that verbal description was okay.
Okay. That's good. I guess, do we need to make a motion on this? I don't think we do, right? This is just comments?
That's correct. I believe you've provided comments. And Tricia, do you have enough to leave with?
So typically just for my own education. So I think we're up for right now conceptual review. Is that correct?
And right, so there's no action taken.
There's just, no action. Yeah. So you wouldn't deny the conceptual review as a motion, correct? It's just comments. Okay. That's just correct. For my own knowledge. Okay.
Yes.
That is all I have and all I need. Thank you all.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So then that concludes that item. That takes us to item D, announcements by members and staff. Does anybody have any announcements? Mary?
I just wanted to mention that it's summer, so happy summer, and we have just one meeting scheduled in July and August, unless something comes up unusually. So your next meeting will be July 28th, and enjoy a little break.
All right. And with that, we are adjourned. Oh, wait, sorry, Dennis?
I have a question for Jennifer. Where is that tower out by the Bacara?
It's right if you're on Cathedral Oaks and you pass like Winchester Canyon headed towards Bacara. If you look to the right towards the mountains, it's kind of sitting on one of the little hills. You can't really miss it if you're looking at the hillside. Okay. Like behind Winchester, towards Winchester Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Or if you're coming from Bacara and you go onto Cathedral Oaks, you look left.
Sure.
And it's up there. It looks really tiny though, because it's the scale of it compared to the whole rolling hillside.
Okay. I think I found it on Google Earth. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, we are adjourned. All right. Bye, everybody.
Even lightning bugs have dimmed their light. Stars have disappeared from sight, and there's no moon at all. Don't make